You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name is Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. And today, it's finally September, which also means the Pacers are done. It's the offseason. We're in offseason mode. We talked about key dates yesterday. And yesterday, we also heard from Kevin Pritchard for the first time since the season ended, his yearly kind of end of season, really wrap things up press conference. He talked about coaching and Oladipo and Sabonis and Turner and this and that and team building, and it was great. And there's a lot to digest. And here to do that with me, my co-host, Adam Friedman. Adam, we've been talking a lot recently, and I'm loving it.
I've talked to you almost every day this week.
Of because like
the day
three
we did
straight
do a podcast, I was at your house, social distancing and eating dinner.
We did. Yeah, there's just been so much Pacers to cover between the playoffs and the end of the seeding games and the offseason and the Nate firing. We just can't do these shows by ourselves. And
I vaguely remember last Monday you saying, well, season's over, slow down a little bit, it'll be good. And then nope.
So, yeah, the McMillan firing was what didn't slow it down. But Pritchard talked about that today, mostly under, not the guys, that's the wrong word, mostly under the question premises of, you know, what are they looking for going forward? And I think that's a place we can get to right after this. But I thought one thing that I wanted to mention is there was a report in the Indy Star about Herb Simon's involvement in that maneuver. And that was asked about, I think Bob Kravitz of The Athletic asked the question. And, you know, of course, Pritchard said he talks to Herb about everything, right? Herb's his boss. But he said it's on him, right? Pritchard had a gut feeling, I think he said, quote unquote, that it was time to move on. And he ran that up the pipe, told Herb. Herb said, okay. And then, they decided to get rid of McMillan. So it was on KP. The exact quote was, you have a gut feeling, now is the time. I had a feeling, now is the time. So he just felt like it was time to move on to a new coach, even after the extension stuff. So not from up top, which I thought was interesting, you know, given how far back Pritchard and McMillan's relationship go for KP to be, you know, on the pulse like that. I thought that was pretty interesting and honestly a good move that he is willing to, you know, try to push the team forward.
It honestly might have been a year too late.
That I don't know if I want to go that far yet.
Well, there was absolutely
positively no reason to fire him last year, I think.
No, but this is the most wide open year probably the league's had in a while. I can name five teams that they won. We probably wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know what I mean?
People are picking the Heat over the Bucks like all over the place right now. So
yeah, but I mean, like if you name, I mean, I think any of the top three in the East could win it and wouldn't surprise. Boston is maybe not like huge favorites, but like if they won, I wouldn't be like, oh, I don't, like that's not possible. Yeah. And then in the West, I mean, I think, I don't really know if the Jazz or Nuggets could probably win that series, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockets somehow got there because just James Harden is James freaking Harden. So is Russell Westbrook. So, I mean, it's just a very open year without the Warriors and without really the Nets with Durant. And then the fact that both of the LA teams look kind of soft because they're in their first year together. So
another thing in that part of the Herb Simon Pritch dialogue that was brought up, Pritch said, every quote in this is from Pritch. He said, he wants this to be, he being Herb Simon in this instance, he wants this to be a great organization. If it was just about the money, we probably wouldn't have done what we did, right? So,
do you think this is a direct reaction to the thing about Larry Bird where they
do not want to be seen as cheap. And to be fair, I mean, this is the opposite of a cheap move, firing a coach you literally just gave guaranteed money to. So.
Yeah, it's also a bad look in the league, right? If you come off as cheap, that's going to look really bad for the players. You're not going to get the talent you need. But, like, I don't know. I mean, when is cheap really? Because, like, the Thunder are super cheap, and they seem to always put together a good roster. So, like, Thunder notoriously cheap. You don't think they are?
I guess moving to Oklahoma City from Seattle could probably be seen as cheap, yes.
No, but that's because new ownership came in. That wasn't
No, they've been paying the tax for forever and stuff.
Paying Harden was the cheapest move I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they would have been the most expensive team, like, of all time if they had to pay
Harden. Not back then if they paid Harden, because the cap would have gone up and all that stuff.
Oh, 100%, even if they paid Harden.
No, because Harden wasn't going to – back then, Tony, his max was $20 million a year. That was the max.
They would have been, like, an absurd tax team at the time.
Okay, but what is it? Aren't you supposed to be an absurd tax team if you have three of the best five players on the planet?
They can't predict the 2016 cap spike.
No. That's debatable, but they would have had three of the top eight players in the league at the time, 10. I mean, like – I know Harden wasn't quite there yet, but like if you don't know Harden's going to be that good, like that's a team that wins three championships if Harden's on that roster.
He was a stud in the playoffs.
That's the thing. You pay the max tax because you're going to win three or four championships and you're going to be like the, you know, the team of the decade. That's
yeah, they paid crazy tax with Russ for a hot second there. So I don't know.
Yeah, and they weren't even competitive. So I mean, that's where it's kind of, that's why I mean, they're
yeah.
They like overcorrected to being cheap about Harden is all I mean.
So then the going forward questions come up, right? And he's not going to name names, but he did say, and this was in the press release, but you know, that the search is already moving on to finding the next guy. I think we've both said this, that we don't expect him to hire anyone until the playoffs are over, right? Just in case D'Antoni or any other team really may let go of their coach or one of those guys who comes available for an interview, you have to wait. But something he didn't really rule out anything like type of coach as an option. You know, the program builder stuff was kind of discussed, but like he talks to David West, he said, about, you know, what an NBA coach kind of is now, like what coaching NBA players now is. And also someone asked straight up, like, would you consider a college coach? He said, yeah, like he really did not rule. I mean, this is kind of too much information to really mean anything, but he really didn't rule out basically anything. He said someone that can be a really good partner that can grow into this position. I'm not ruling out really anything right now. We can go with experience. We can go with an up and comer. We can go outside the box. So really hard to say who they're going to hire. Obviously we have that list we ran through and those guys make a lot of sense for their experience and you know what they've done around the league, but he really is casting a wide net. I don't think there's anything we can rule out right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the coach decision depends on the direction the team takes this offseason, right? What they move, what they don't move. I mean,
so, I think it's the opposite. I think picking the coach will then dictate the roster.
Well, no, that's fair. One might cause the other one. But, like, I mean, it depends what certain players say, too, I think, during the search, right? Like, that could play a factor. And I also play a factor in the last.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But I think the thing to think about right now is, if are they going to try to go for it? And what does that really mean? Because the roster they have is decent. If it stays healthy and is gets to, you know, some level, it's going to be decent, right? They're probably going to win, let's say, 50 games now. Let's assume nobody's healthy the entire year, but let's say they all get healthy by the playoffs. They're a 50-win team next year. They're a first-round playoff contender, right? I mean, the East is going to be better, assuming, you know, Durant comes back at an 80% level and the Nets are legit. And so then you have, like, five legit teams already ahead of them currently. See the Raptors hold up or what they end up doing. But so, like, you're going to win the first round, but probably not going any further than that, right? That's where they're probably at. So then what does it mean to compete is getting a guy that pushes you from first round contending to, like, Eastern Conference final. I don't think you can definitely build a team like a championship favorite right now, but you can build a team to get to the finals. And we've seen get to the finals, injuries can happen, things can break your way. And that's kind of what happened with the Raptors last year a little bit too. So it to me, and that's coaching is depending on that, right? If you think you're going to kind of blow it up, or maybe do a mini reset, not complete, then you don't necessarily go after the type of coach that's going to cost a lot of money and can help you win today. You go after somebody who you expect to be the coach for 4 or 5 years. You expect to maybe have a pick maybe in the low teens at some point, maybe even in like right at the 10 to 14 range where you have a bad year or whatnot, and so you can develop talent. Like that's the two tracks, I guess.
I kind of doubt they'll go development coach. You know, KP said, like, he was talking about the core of the team in relation to someone asking about building around Oladipo. And he's like, no, we're building around like five guys, basically. And then named something about every player in the starting five and how they grew into their role, including Oladipo, right? He's a part of the core that he brought up. And we'll talk about Vic in a minute. But I highly, highly doubt they would go a development coach. I think they see a window with this team to do what you said, you know, get out of the first round, maybe get to the conference finals. Who knows what the ceiling could be if they make another move. This and that, but
they got to make another move to get above that. I don't think at the current iteration they're a conference finals team. I think
I don't know.
They might have been because of how kind of
if Vic never gets hurt, they probably could be, but he did so.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's also part of it, but like I think they're probably a player away from being that level. I mean, they're gonna have to figure out like what roster they can put together that maybe would put them ahead and give them an advantage in other ways, right? I mean, they're not going to be able to get one of the great forwards, so that's going to be an issue. I mean, I'm assuming there's like the four or five best forwards are all going to run on their same team. So then is there like a guard? Do you have like this really good three-guard lineup that is really lethal? That seems like kind of the way to go at some point. And with a really good kind of center and Sabonis, and do you maybe figure out how to, you know, boost your bench to 9 or 10 deep, which could be useful? I mean, that's what they have to figure out. But they're going to need somebody also to kind of become a star or be the star. But I don't think the current iteration, no matter who the coach is, competes for a conference finals, I guess.
Yeah, I think they can win a round, but not two rounds. I'm not super sure, yeah. But who knows? I thought that was pretty interesting stuff, though. And really, that makes it harder, but more fun for us, I think, when we're analyzing the next coach, because it gives us a wider, like, we have to look at more people, right? Like, obviously, the list that that betting site that we looked at was really helpful in finding, you know, the big names, like the most commonly bet people, I guess. You know, the point of that is to incite bets, not real odds, but... And, you know, also MDA's name being out there is nothing, but I just think all that is interesting and gives us lots of cover, and it could really be anything, and I don't know what they're going to do, but that is step one of the offseason is hire your coach, because that will dictate a lot of decisions after that.
Yeah, and I mean, they have to see what the player – I think they have to gauge what their players want. I mean, they've got abroad, you know, Oladipo, probably.
They've already done exit interviews, yeah. So I'm
yeah,
sure
but I mean,
know.
They're probably going to have to gauge those players' view, because especially – I think Brogdon is and Oladipo are kind of the two to focus on, because they're the leaders of this team ultimately. I think they're the oldest guys in the roster. They're the most vocal. Especially Brogdon is going to be the next 3 years for sure. He's definitely going to have to be kind of in the decision making. I mean, it's maybe Brogdon, but like have a voice at least or be asked a little bit. I mean, and Oladipo, if he's willing to stay, I have to be able to ask him too what he wants.
Yeah, for sure. And let's talk about Oladipo, because I mean that was obviously going to be a hot question. And this is. What's next for him, right? He's extension eligible. He was last summer. He is it going into the last year of his deal. There's been the small murmurs from, you know, Sam Amick and stuff about could he actually want out right now? So that all got brought up, and we need to talk about it. But first, we need to talk about Rock Auto, because one reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use for other important things like your mortgage or some food. Why would you choose to spend 30 or 50 or even 100% more the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership, and you could get it for less at rockauto.com. They're a family-owned business who's been serving auto parts customers for over 20 years. Their catalog is unique. It's super easy to navigate. They've got everything for your vehicle, and you can choose brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, their prices are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Again, why would you spend twice as much somewhere else for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, all caps with a space in the middle. And how did you hear about us, Fox? So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So there's sort of two lines to the Oladipo stuff from today, right? Well, I guess there's lots of layers to Oladipo, because I'm sure there's a lot of truth to the you know, the people who are saying like they've heard that Vic wants out or whatever for her national people, like they're plugged in, they hear stuff. Like, I'm sure there's some truth to Vic thinking that he could have more fun or enjoy another team, but he could also get the most money with the Pacers, and that's been something he values. And Pritchard today, who's also a very plugged in guy, because you know he literally works in the NBA, said he hasn't heard anything other than that Depot wants to be here, referring to Indiana. Now, however, he also mentioned earlier in the presser, right, this is Oladipo's first free agency where he gets to make the decision, right? He was restricted with the Thunder, signed a longer-term deal there. He didn't write that doesn't let him – that's not really his choice. I mean, it is. You know, he could have signed with another team if he wanted, technically, but the Thunder had the ability to match that or anything like that. So it's tough. He also called it an autonomous choice, right? It's all on Vic. He can do whatever he wants. So we kind of heard both sides of the tale there. The first side is Pritch hasn't heard from Vic specifically. And I think this is true. Even if Vic has expressed desire to some people that maybe he doesn't want to play in Indiana, he hasn't expressed that to KP, which I don't necessarily know what that means, if it means anything at all. And I believe KP when he says that Vic's never told him that. And I think that is important at this stage in time. And, you know, I think that he kept saying, like, they want to look ahead and see what this can do. I don't think he ever explicitly mentioned that, you know, they're looking at extension offers or anything like that. But I thought all of the comments were very interesting in what they could relate to Depot's future now and the year after this year.
Yeah, so until we see how the cap shake, I guess we know much they can max off from this year. I mean, it's four. Four-year extension at 125% of his current salary, which would put it at like 25.
4 years, $113 million.
Right, and then they can do some 7.5% increases, right, over the last.
That was
years.
The total deal. That's what the max it could be is, yeah. 4 years, $113 million. Yeah.
I mean, if the cap falls off, that could look a pretty good deal compared to what he could get. Especially, I mean, I think they're gonna have to like I don't know if you've been reading it, but it sounds like after this whole bubble, there'll be a discussion about the CBA and what's going to happen. Could there even be like a lockout if they can't figure out? Because
I highly doubt it, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money on gate revenue. I mean, it's I think Silver said 40% of the revenue is by gate. I don't know if it's that high. I think it might be a little bit stretching it, but I would guess it's probably somewhere between a quarter and a third of a lot of teams' revenue, and that's going to be an issue if they pay the players that kind of money still. So I'll have to figure that out. And so that will screw up his free agency, right? Because if they just figure out the cap, they don't do anything, the cap just goes down, or they figure out how to move the cap down or whatever, he won't get as much money next summer as Max, right? 30%. I think he can get 30% or 25% of the cap.
He can get 30%. That'll still be more than the extension amount, even if the cap falls dramatically. I think the 30% would
still. Well, no, because think about then what happened. I mean, how much money did the Heat
for avail? Sure. For sure. The cap would the cap would have to fall well below $100 million for the 30% to not be a bigger deal.
But that could very well happen. No,
that will not happen. I am willing to say 100% that will not happen.
You don't think of – I mean –
I think it could fall to like 109, 105 million at the lowest. I doubt we get to the hundreds.
If there are no fans all of next year, you don't think it falls that low?
No. The league can use cap projections to do the cap instead of actual revenue. And I just don't think the Players Association would go for that. And I don't think they're going to rip up the CBA. Everybody's losing money. I think they'll try to work out something. So I highly, highly doubt it would fall that far.
So you think we'll get kind of a smooth where it's like 109 for like
I think it'll stay
years.
The same. Or be about the same for like 3 years in a row or something. I think
That would make a lot of sense.
That is what makes sense. Because then the players who already signed the deals aren't getting screwed either, right?
If it does, let's say it falls to that number, then Vic under the Pacers plan can get like $180 million almost.
Yeah, from the Pacers. From other teams, he would get like four for, I can't do math quickly, but.
Which for
like
him,
140, something like
that. In a different position than other players like LeBron, for example, like that, who can kind of afford to go year by year because they have so much off the court money and because they just have.
And they're guaranteed a max the next year, no matter what. Vic signing a 1 year deal, he could look bad again and then not get.
Yeah, where he go. And also, I mean, this is he's 20, what would be 28 next year when he signs a contract, 29 almost. I think he's 29 in May. So, this will be his last big contract, most likely. Just
100% for sure.
I mean, it could, if he had a great 4 years, it could not be. I mean,
he'll be 33.
I know, but Chris Paul got to have money. He's not Chris Paul.
That is true.
So I never say never, but I'm saying, so this will be his last opportunity. So the money factor could be huge. Now, if the cap also stays stagnant, the Pacers at $33 million for him is going to be interesting because that's going to put him near the luxury tax, I think.
Yeah, they're near the tax already, so they'll have to find a way to figure something out.
And then if they try to make a move for a player, right, that will also boost their tax more. They'll have to kind of...
Yeah, assuming they take on salary.
And then also could hamper re-signing Warren the next year if he gets a little more than he's currently making, which is...
If they're not willing to pay the tax, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's some issue, right? Well, if they're not winning a championship, do you expect them to really want to pay a large tax bill?
No.
Right? If they're competing for a championship, I could definitely see it. It's the last time they pay the tax.
It's very easy for them to stay under the tax this summer, but if they keep Vic and want to get better, it's a little harder.
The last time they played the tax was 2003-04. That's when they had a team that could win a championship.
Yes,
for sure. That's the last time they did it. So
other parts of that Depot stuff is, he said that him and Vic, KP said he and Vic are having – good dialogue, and they were talking literally the day before, and he said they don't really feel a rush to make a decision, right? Vic has expressed to KP that he's been saying the most important thing is to win, and he believes that they can make a team good enough to do some stuff in the playoffs. So I think what you were saying about them possibly making a more expensive team or making that move in the first segment could apply here, right? They have to, coaching change aside, they do have to do something possibly roster-wise to show them or to show Vic if they really want him to stay, like, look, we're going for it. And then it has to actually be good enough. Because, like, the other part is they just got spanked by the team that everyone thinks he's going to, right? Like, it's very easy for him to have the winning eyes towards the Heat organization right now. So I thought all that was interesting. And I do think it's, I don't think he would ever say, Vic has expressed this or that to me if it was negative to the Pacers. However, he would be more careful with his wording than saying Vic has never expressed to me that he wants to play somewhere else, I think. A lot of the details of the way he said it, I always think is important there. So, I don't know if we learned a ton or anything here. I think a lot of people are a little, I'm probably under 50-50. I said earlier on the show, I think in July when Vic opted out originally, that I was 50-50 on him staying with the Pacers. I think I'm a little under that now, like 45% he stays. But I think people are being too eager on the he's getting traded this offseason opinion. I think that there's the idea that that might be the smart move makes some sense, but I think that that will happen. I don't know if that is true.
Yeah, do you think they decide just to roll the dice next year? Because, I mean, like,
get halfway through the year. If your team's amazing, then you just bet
exactly.
on, okay, our new coach and our tweaked roster is really good. You know what? Let's sell them on the winner. And if you're about the same, then maybe you say, okay, you know what? Fine. We're not good enough and we're going to lose them for nothing. Yeah, that's what I think you can do, right? And another factor that I think people who are saying he's traded this offseason aren't considering is, like, he was not that good in the restart. Like, his trade value probably can't get much worse playing next year. So at the trade deadline, outside of the fact that, you know, there's only half the season instead of a season, I don't think his trade value is going to be that much different than it is right now. So I would just wait anyway.
And they probably can't make the kind of move that would yield them the same results as the PG trade, right? There is not that position, right?
No way.
Right, I mean, there's not
PG,
like, even
he was clearly still a stud. Vic does not have that appeal.
Well, no, but I mean, even the fact they couldn't, like, bet on two, let's say, average players at the time, with the one average and one unknown. I think Smoltz is still pretty much unknown, and, like, maybe hit the same kind of, like, luck they've hit currently. Right, I mean, that's just, it's just, like, there isn't going to be an offer out there where they get, you know, two of those kind of players. I don't.
Yeah, a solid starter at the time. Depot was a solid starter. A solid starter and a recently 11th pick would be quite the haul for Vic to me at this point in time.
Yeah, right. I mean, if we're talking about, I mean, the question with him is there any team that sees next year as their window and has an asset they want to give up for the next year? But, like, the teams that are, like, don't have their assets, they've already kind of pushed them in the middle.
But also, if they're pushing an asset, they're not going to do it for Depot if he's not any better, right? So,
yeah, but I mean, I think there's a
couple factors
made for a team that has, like, two superstars and just needs that third guy. Because Depot can, I think, is pretty good as the third guy. The other question is, like, is there a way to use his money, because he's expiring on a team that has a really bad salary, for a certain player to get, like, let's just throw out there, like Chris Paul, right? Like, he's got, if the Thunder tomorrow said, we don't want to pay his last 3 years, the Pacers get Chris Paul, which is an asset, probably actually a better asset than Vic, and then figure out how to move that for something and kind of.
Oh, I would trade for Chris Paul in 2 seconds.
Yeah, no, but, like, but getting Chris Paul, right, is a less long-term play. He helps you maybe next year, but also he's a very valuable asset in that most championship teams want him, and you can, you know what I mean? You can kind of. Like,
there's,
do you make some salary moves with Oladipo and somebody, and try to, like, play a little bit of a longer game where you start moving stuff around and try to get some picks? I don't know. There's some interesting things to do there, I think. Because it's expiring. I mean, expiring contracts are valuable in themselves, so.
They are. That's true. That could be where the value is. If it comes to that, that's depressing. That Depot's value is just that his contract is expiring. But
no, I don't think it's the only value, but that could be. It could help boost the
value. I think his value's pretty low right now, but whatever, we'll see. I think that's another reason not to trade him now, his value.
I mean, I honestly think that's why PG had a little. He got, I think, got a ton of value, but got a little more than maybe we would have thought or something like that, because Vic was not expiring. PG was, so they didn't have to pay Vic. Vic did not look good with them his last year, so I could see them just wanting to get off the contract, to be honest.
Like, yeah, that's for sure. Now, there is the rest of the roster, and we did hear some stuff from KP about those guys, you know, obviously, and some stuff about what they can do this summer to get better. So we got one more segment. I think we should talk about that stuff. Let's start with the sweeping statement that Kevin Pritchard said. He said, I like this group coming back. I think we have a foundation of good players. Do there need to be changes made? Maybe, but those won't be made without a lot of thought behind it. After complimenting his core, I think that is, you know, in good faith saying, I think this team is good and we can win with this group. He also, you know, the guy that everybody thinks could be traded is Miles Turner. We've talked about that on the show, why that could make some sense. He even mentioned those two guys specifically. He said, when talking to Miles and talking to Domas, both of them, the very first thing each one said is, I want to play with Domas and I want to play with Miles. We can make it work. And he said he was taken aback by that, which, again, this isn't like, you be careful with your wording if that's not something that happened, you know, like more in the details kind of stuff. He said, I was a little taken aback by that, but I think they really appreciate each other's skill set. So I think those two guys just want to make it work. But I also believe that both of them want the ball more because they're basketball players who like the ball. So I think they want to make it work in the context of, in a way that makes sense for both of them too. And, you know, I don't think that any of the things he says rules out a move of either of those guys. And like we've talked about, their coach they hire could dictate which one they move. If they move Domas, I would be stunned, but not off the table. You know, a lot of that stuff I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, What is the move? I'm trying to kind of digest.
There's a lot of time to not say anything.
No, I have to digest everything you just said for a second. With the roster moves, right? I mean, the biggest free agent, right, is Holiday, right? That's like the biggest. That's the biggest.
Justin, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, yes. Justin.
I thought you meant the league, and I was like, huh?
No. And then it's right, the tinkering around the roster edges with other stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I do think the idea is, after McConnell, are you convinced do they need another point guard instead of McConnell? Because McConnell really couldn't play in the playoffs. I think, which is a bad matchup. Like, he could fit another.
No, I wanted McConnell to play more after the first game.
Yeah.
He was bad. He was bad, so I was wrong. But no, I think you roll the dice with McConnell again. Or even if you have to bench him, you have Aaron Holiday, it's fine.
Do you even think about, right, if you put McDermott and McConnell, got a $10 million salary, do you make some move for somebody else? You know, I mean, I think McDermott actually, once he gets a bonus back, fits very well with that kind of style. So you just, but like, is there something else like out there?
I don't want to fall for McDermott for another year, shooting 2 for $1 million in the playoffs, but
yeah, I mean, the question,
frustrating, right, watching him tail off every year.
I think we could both say at this point, Sumner was the fourth guard on the roster behind Aaron Holiday, right? It'd be, I wouldn't be the worst thing, right? I mean, I wouldn't.
No, I'd be totally cool with that.
Right. So there is a move to make there. And could you get a better shooter than McDermott, or somebody who fits a little bit better, somebody maybe comes a better in the clutch, let's say, or in a playoff series than McDermott?
That's a good thought. Yeah.
Right. So like, there are some moves there. I mean, and you have to get a lease salary. Like
we talked about earlier, if they're kind of close to the tax, or like need to shed some room to get Justin Holiday. I talked about this yesterday. Like, if you want to play Ed, cutting McConnell's not the craziest move. You know, you get two and a half million extra wiggle room and add a rotation spot in the same move
with McConnell.
Now Lamb, we'll get to in a second, also shakes this up.
With McConnell, McDermott, and Leaf, you get to $14 million in salary right there, which is not like those, in only one of those one in and a half guys.
Salary.
What?
In negative salary, but yes.
You no, but
that's an asset to get someone to take those guys.
Well, I was going to get there. So you put that with Turner, that equals $32 million. I mean, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, and then you give up every first round pick you have, and you can get something like Harrison Barnes or something.
I don't know. I mean, Turner himself is probably an asset. The other three
Turner's
are not.
Definitely in it. Turner's
but the other three are two of them are all expiring contracts.
McDermott is probably a slight asset. Leaf definitely negative. McConnell fine, and Turner asset. But still, that group, I mean, $30 million of slight asset isn't like a worth thing to trade.
No. But I'm saying in that whole package, you get three expiring contracts, so you get to shed $14 million, and then you add some picks on top of that to make that's where the value is. I mean, you have two first round picks, and that's a move.
He did say, Pritchard did say, he would not be surprised if the trade market gets super active this year. I could probably do a whole podcast on that at some point, just because between the cap ramifications of the summer and the lack of good free agents, that makes a lot of sense, that a lot of teams could think they need to trade to get better, or they need to trade to shed salary to get the guy they want. I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting summer. But I think,
is Lance on the roster next year?
No.
You don't think so? He almost was this year, Tony. He was very freaking close to being this year.
Yeah, thanks to a lot of injuries.
That's true.
Banged up Depot and out for a while, Brogdon, and out for the season, Lamb, and they still were only considering it. I mean,
they were going to sign him.
They were probably going to. Yeah.
They were
going to
sign him. It just the pandemics.
It took two and a half guards being down in the rotation. So
let's do one of the guards, Lamb. I think the Lamb thing was really interesting.
Yeah, my gosh, I thought that this would be like a much more, I can't explain the right words, like
serious
about thing after this. Is he said. Kevin Pritchard's talking about Jeremy Lamb and said, you know, he's doing great. There was a video the other day of him dunking. I saw that video on Instagram myself. Jeremy Lamb already dunking towards ACL in February. I know it's already late in the year, but it seems crazy. But he said a December timeline on the table for a return for Jeremy Lamb, which I guess that's 11 months. So that's not crazy for an injury. We both thought it'd be longer than that because it was a huge injury. But that would be great for rehab. And given the timeline, it looks like the season next year might not start till 2021 or even decent chunk into the year, right? Like, the Pacers could realistically have Lamb on opening night next year, and that maybe also makes you think differently about the McConnell Sumner stuff with their bench. And he would have helped the team against the Heat for sure, because he can create off the bounce without a pass. You know, I think it's very good. Both, I mean, I don't know what level of Lamb will get next year, right? They might have to restrict his minutes or something, and without some bounce, maybe he's worse. But I think having him back is going to be helpful for the team, and I'm very interested to see if he can really be back by December. I mean, that would be huge.
Yeah, and bench, that would
scoring on the wing. Count me in.
I think we honestly didn't do enough to discuss. I mean, and we did a little bit of injury stuff, but like, I think there was when Lamb got hurt, we kind of like, well, Aaron Holiday will step in. It'll be okay. But like, we didn't do enough to discuss. And because the bench was without him originally, right? Originally, he was a starting for the first 6 months when he got hurt. It was right when Vic came back. So it timed out nicely and you had the normal bench unit that was playing. But like,
yeah, the thing is, everybody but me thought the bench would be better without him. So we kind of just were like, okay, they can play the
okay, I didn't think still. That. I didn't think that. I thought the chemistry, you're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that.
I was Twitter very, might have said that. I'm a very big Jeremy Lamb fan. But I understand.
We forgot anyway. How valuable in the playoffs it is to have a one-on-one score on your bench when especially there's some other issues. Right? Because he would have been extremely
game
valuable.
One, with Depot and Aaron Holiday in trouble, he would have been so helpful. And that was also that was probably the second closer they got to winning a game.
If they could have started him over Aaron Holiday, it would have been huge.
That too. Yeah.
Just because absolutely. He is better than Aaron Holiday, and he is a legit guy who can score 8-10 points efficiently.
Now, again, he could be worse next year. In fact, he likely will be worse. But I still think having him back is helpful. And if he's back before the season starts, if he is a guy lumped in a trade, he's no longer just dead money. If he's healthy and able to play, he is something. So I thought that was a big deal that he could be back.
I agree. I mean, I think when he also, if he comes back and going back to our trade conversation, he does make the Aaron, if he's back and you're playing Sumner and McConnell, it makes Aaron Holiday's a trade asset a little more interesting too.
Yeah, one of the guards is going to be screwed next year, and I feel terrible for whoever it is. Unless Holiday doesn't come back, and then you can feasibly move Jeremy Lamb up to like small forward and maybe figure something out that way.
Do you think Holiday comes back? I'm pessimistic.
Justin Holiday?
Yeah, Justin Holiday is.
I don't really know. Honestly, you know, something Kevin Pritchard talked about today that I wanted to close with is the MLE, right? I asked him about how he improves the roster because this is Kevin Pritchard's first summer without cap space being in charge of the team, right? First summer he was the Al Jefferson summer, then Tyreek Evans, and last year was crazy. This is his first time without it, and he has the MLE, and I didn't even think about this. We always talk about using the full MLE on Justin Holiday. You can also split up the MLE, and splitting it up means you're probably not getting Justin Holiday back, but you're getting maybe two vets, so like two forwards that you need or something like that. I don't know what they would do that for, right? They already are retaining a lot of their guys, but you know, I thought that was interesting that as an option. But you know, if they use their full MLE, they'll be close to the tax, especially if it falls a little bit, and they keep McConnell, so it might be pretty hard to use it, and I think Justin Holiday's market could get close to that after how well he shot both in the regular season and the playoffs, and his defense was really good. He was praised by Kevin Pritchard in this press conference for his skills. He's a good player, so I think they should try to keep him. He's really good, but it could be hard, and him being gone would open up a rotation spot, which could end up being helpful. I don't know how, you know, you're opening a rotation spot because you're losing a good player, but yeah, I wouldn't say it's like supremely likely or unlikely either way. It's another tough one. I mean, maybe it's like the loser in me of my hot takeness, but I just don't want to ever commit either direction. I feel like it's 50-50. He could be back if he likes the culture a lot, but I think he could get more money elsewhere just because of the financial situation of the league and the team.
Yeah, and I wonder if having both Holiday brothers is an attractive move for Drew.
For Drew at some point.
I don't know. I mean, it might be possible. It might be a not good thing, and it might actually be better off trading Aaron for Drew because maybe you don't want to play with your brothers. I don't know. Also, I wonder if he is soured to his, like, because it does seem like Justin Holiday was not exactly happy with the way the playoffs went. In the way, maybe getting McMillan helps that, but I wonder if he's been in his, you know, brothers talk to each other. I mean, they tend to rely on each other, I would guess, especially guys at that all caliber, because Justin is the oldest of the three, I believe. And I wonder if there might be some sourness about how the Pacers just kind of as an organization were last year after kind of the beginning part of the season. But he's dealing with Justin Holiday. At the end of the day, money is going to be the biggest thing for my head, I guess, just because he's never made a ton of money. I mean, he's a ton of money in NBA sense. Let's be real, made a lot of money. But, like, he hasn't had a big three-year, $20-plus million contract yet to kind of set yourself up for life kind of money. So I think he's probably going to go to the highest bidder. And the question is, does the MLE reach the highest bid or not? That's
right. Well, and if they use their full MLE, even if they don't get into the tax, but they're close to it, they get hard-capped by using it. And then they can't make a big salary increasing trade during the season because they'd be hard capped. So,
you know, I don't think they're going to need to. They have enough diversity of salaries where they can piece together enough to like get in enough range where they can make them move, right? I mean, you talked about that they can. Yeah. And I mean, right, with Justin Holiday too, if they use the MLE, they have his $5 million already on the books, let's say, like in a holdover for next year, right? So then it kind of takes up that hold almost. So it's
actually, yeah.
Right, if they somehow manage to keep Holiday and add an Emily, that would actually add to their salary cap. But that's not gonna happen. But that, you know, I mean,
that is possible, but I don't.
Right,
know.
I mean, there is a chance, right, that his market.
I think that
somehow
is only possible if like they can find a taker for Leafs money for nothing, and they cut McConnell, and yeah, that would be hard, but possible. It's possible,
right? McConnell's non-guaranteed next year, right?
He is $1 million out of $3.5 million is guaranteed.
Okay, so basically non-guaranteed.
Yeah, $1 million is nothing. They could even stretch it to 300,000 or whatever. So.
Oh, yeah, some more of that Monte Ellis money.
Yeah, well, that's so frustrating at this point. But yes, exactly. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, a lot really, you know, these things are always interesting, these end-of-season press conferences, because obviously he can't, like, tamper or say anything he's not supposed to and get into specifics, right? But it's still good info and useful to figure out maybe what their strategy could be and really piece together everything that we'll go into their offseason, and I always like hearing from Pritchard himself, so I thought it was a fun and telling press conference.
Can I lock you in a wildly speculated prediction?
God. Can you lock me into one? No, but I will hear you.
Give me the coach they hire right now if you had a guess. Just give me a name. It doesn't have to be – this could be completely wrong, and I would not hold it against you or anything like that. I'm just – give me a name.
I'm literally on the record. We got aggregated finally for once. On the record, I am just guessing Kenny Atkinson.
Okay, I think D'Antoni ends up being the coach. It just feels that
way. The rumors are rumors for a reason. I'm probably
momentum is building that. Now. Yeah. Could the Rockets somehow? Like, I thought the Rockets lost like the next two games, and they probably gonna win the first round series. They played at night as we're speaking. But I thought they lost the next two. He was gonna be fired for sure, and he'd be hired by the Pacers by like the end of the week. But I think they're gonna hang around for another round, so we'll see.
Yeah, I've seen a few go Thunders from Pacers fans, which is funny. Yeah, I don't know why my gut says Kenny. I just think he checks a lot of the boxes they would want. But
I think he does too. I think he got a really bad deal in the Nets because if they had kind of followed the Celtics.
If he got fired for not playing DeAndre Jordan over Jared Allen, he's a genius because Jared Allen is better than DeAndre Jordan. It just so happens that DeAndre Jordan is friends with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So. Yeah, Kenny Atkinson got a very raw deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the Nets had followed the path of the Celtics instead of kind of swinging for a home running, which it worked. I mean, they get those two guys. That's
fine.
Huge.
Yeah,
it's going to be fine. Don't get me wrong. But like, he would probably still be the coach. He would probably have a Brad Stevens level of respect. Maybe even three years from now, he'd be like Brad Stevens. But they just decided the Nets always trying to pull the trigger early. We'll see if it works out. But they're always gutsy, always antsy, feels like.
Yeah, we'll see. But I don't know why he's my gut feeling. I mean, I think he'll be in hot demand, especially from the Bulls, but we'll see.
I think, though, unless he wants to be in Chicago, it's a big city. I mean, that's not a job I want in Chicago unless they're going to make a ton of moves, because I do not want to coach Zach LaVine.
So for those who actually want to watch most of KP's comments, I don't know how much of them actually ended up there, but Pacers.com has a lot of videos broken up into bites about specific questions and answers, so you can go check all those out. You can, of course, check out me and Adam on Twitter. He's at FriedmanAdam5. I'm at TEastNBA. This show is at Locked On Pacers. Thank you guys for listening. And please ask us questions on Twitter for our mailbag coming up. And we'll see you tomorrow.